Our next case this morning is number 053105, Harold Crouch against the Whirlpool Corporation. Mr. Goodrich.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Attorney John Goodrich. I represent the plaintiff and the appellant, Harold Crouch. As an initial matter, I would note that Mr. Crouch initiated this appeal without counsel. He was pro se. He missed various important deadlines in the preparation of this appeal. He was able to retain my services at a late date to assist him. And this court allowed me the opportunity to try to do that. Mr. Crouch has come today, and we would like to express our appreciation to the court for allowing the appeal to continue. This matter started out in front of the United States District Court for the Southern District, Indiana, Evansville Division, and the initial complaint was somewhat convoluted. Their trial attorney had taken a shotgun approach toward the litigation, and in the life of the case before the district court, several of the causes of actions were abandoned. Some weren't briefed in response to summary judgment. However, in my review of the record, I believe one cogent issue survived, and that's Mr. Crouch's argument for a substantive law violation. Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Goodrich, under the FMLA doesn't make you better off than if you had not taken certain leave. And so my principal question is really why Whirlpool could not look at what it regards anyway as a pattern of abusing the leave policy, you know, asking for vacation days, and then when they don't come through, taking sick leave, essentially, disability leave, whatever you want to call it, and say, you know, that's abusive, and we think that violates this employee rule, number one, and we're going to terminate you for it. I mean, why isn't that? I mean, surely the fact that you've taken leave doesn't immunize you from some charge like that.
No, and the FMLA creates no additional rights that would immunize you. However, with regard to dealing with the FMLA and applications for qualifying leave based upon serious health conditions, there is a procedure and framework set up for that which require an employer to go through, you know, second or third opinions on a certification from a doctor. So in the instance of this Court of Appeals consideration in Kariotis, which was briefed and noted by the district court, I believe that your statement is absolutely 100% correct. I think Kariotis is good law. There's nothing about that case that I would change or its reasoning. However, as the district court had noted, that would be at page 10 of the short appendix, page 8 of its opinion. This court held in Kariotis that the employer had honestly held suspicion that the employee was not using the medical leave for its intended purpose, and that honest suspicion arose after that employee had been admitted to FMLA leave in a manner consistent with the FMLA and in a manner which was consistent with the employer's practices. This case is factually distinguished. And this is where I think the Sims decision can help offer guidance, but I don't think anything in Kariotis or that opinion would stop the court's consideration of what happened in this case. And what happened in this case is on June 25th, my client filled out quite simply a request for leave. And attached to that request for leave was a doctor's note. And these appear in the record in Exhibits 7, 8, 9, and 10 is the actual medical certification that was approved by Dr. Haseman. However, the medical certification by Dr. Haseman was not received by Whirlpool until the 30th, and that is obvious from its face.
But it seems that Whirlpool had a practice of allowing people to just go out, you know, sort of give them the benefit of the doubt, allowing them to go out on leave when the requests were there and getting the paperwork caught up afterwards. That's what the earlier leave had looked like, and it seems that that's what was happening this time too.
I would.
The pay records seem to bear that out.
I would agree with the court's observation that there is probative evidence which may suggest that. However, there is probative evidence which would rebut that. And to specifically state that, on page 19 of my brief, it is Whirlpool's position, and it was their position in their memorandum in support of summary judgments, page 2 and 3, that to qualify for a disability leave, an employee's doctor must certify the employee is totally disabled and unable to work, which means absent that certification, he's out on a request for leave. My client would have been out on a request for leave. There would have been no FMLA leave granted absent that certification.
I thought Whirlpool explained that, though, by saying, well, here the term disability leave is a term of art. That means leave with pay, right? Mm-hmm. So FMLA, at least the statute, doesn't require it to be leave with pay.
Correct.
So maybe they let you go, they see what the paperwork looks like, and if it qualifies for disability leave, then you get paid for the period of time you're off. You're still off. I'm not sure that this goes as far as you want to take it.
But that's not what Whirlpool says. That's not what they argued, and ultimately that's not what the district court found. What the district court found was on June 15th, or excuse me, let me double check that. What the district court found was that prior to June 30th, on June 25th, that was FMLA leave, not disability leave. And the substantive violation of the FMLA is that my client wasn't allowed to return to work. As soon as he returned to work, he was immediately suspended. They conducted a fact-finding hearing, and they fired him. So they are taking the position that it was FMLA leave on the 25th. That was in contravention of their policies. And by the fact that they required medical certifications from doctors prior to FMLA being granted, it could not have been unless they are being disingenuous. It is a very easy thing for them to want to say, because that brings them clearly under the protection of this court's well-reasoned decision in Kariotis. But they aren't there. They didn't do that. That wasn't accomplished till June 30th, after, 3 days after, and if this court notes in the disputed statement of facts with regard to the memorandums, the dispositive exhibits that the court would need to examine are Exhibits 7, 8, 9, 10, and most importantly, pages 97 through 101 of Castrell's deposition, that this was done. Latham, you know, initially noticed that there was a problem. You know, they're taking leave together again. Went immediately to Castrell. Castrell, that's when her suspicion arose. And then the private investigator was hired, and that was before FMLA leave. If they wanted to do that, or if they were questioning that, the issue of whether he's being paid or not is irrelevant. The FMLA requires the only mechanism for challenging that certification, which came to them on the 30th, was to ask for a second opinion. Otherwise, as Judge Lefkoe has said, and that is only persuasive authority, the requirements of the FMLA become meaningless. Because the employer, under the guise of good faith, it's the easiest thing to allege, the hardest thing to disprove, under the guise of good faith, can go out and hire investigators who will have subjective evidence that even this district court, in its well-reasoned, almost, opinion, states that he must say that the employer erred in saying that my client's activities while on leave, the yard work, and the trip to Las Vegas were somehow an abuse of his FMLA leave. They're not saying it's an abuse of any other type of leave, paid or unpaid, and that's subjective. And the FMLA requires more, and they've clandestinely gone around that. Now, if it happens after, and there's a suspicion, after they've done it right by their own policies and by the law, they go out and get an investigator, I think it's okay.
Your time has expired, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We'll hear now from Mr. Phillips.
That may please the court. Whirlpool urges the court to affirm the district court's grant of summary judgment that Whirlpool had an honest suspicion, an honest belief that Mr. Crouch had applied for leave fraudulently, and reaffirm Karyotis and its application to this case. Plaintiff's arguments is premised on the notion that Whirlpool lied about the timing of its honest suspicion, and it didn't follow its own policies and procedures with respect to Mr. Crouch's request for leave. The reality, and I have to clear up the record here, is the record is marked by an absence of evidence to call into question Whirlpool's honest suspicion, its honest belief that Mr. Crouch had applied for leave fraudulently. Again, looking at the record, I think what we may get hung up on is the term certification. What certification did Whirlpool need? As the record shows, it's undisputed, the June 25th, 2003 note from Dr. Haseman was sufficient certification to approve Mr. Crouch for disability leave.
Was that disability or FMLA leave at that point, or is there a difference?
It's both. It is, as Debbie Castrale stated in her deposition, and I quote, on the record at page 132, the way it works, she says, if they are applying for disability leave, they are automatically qualified for FMLA leave. So when he was approved for disability leave on June 25th, 2003, he automatically qualified for FMLA leave. And I think we're getting hung up on the Dr. Haseman's later form on June 30th. That form, under Whirlpool's policy, is a sickness and accident form, which allowed Mr. Crouch to get paid for his disability leave that he applied for on June 25th.
So the disability leave starts right away, and the later form ensures that that period of time is with pay?
Correct. And if it for some reason it's not qualifying for pay through the insurance company, then it just reverts to an unpaid FMLA leave. And again, as Debbie Castrale stated in her testimony, is that all they really need to approve the disability leave was a note from the doctor that provided that he was receiving care, dates of the absence, and that is sufficient certification. There is no, in that instance, under the disability policy and the disability leave, there is no separate FMLA forms that are provided to the employee. Mr. Crouch had applied for FMLA intermittent certification in both 2002 and 2003, at which time the company did, in fact, provide him with the Department of Labor certification of health care provider forms. He filled those out and was approved for intermittent leave. Those weren't given to him in this case because it was a disability leave situation in June 2003. This was not just a FMLA leave. It was a disability leave under Whirlpool's policy.
And the leave was for the same 3 weeks that his wife, or his, whatever she was, fiance, was on vacation.
He had initially sought vacation time for the same time. That is correct. Mm-hmm. That is correct. And he was ultimately approved for the leave for the 1 week or 2 weeks of that time. And again, just to be sure, from Debbie Castrale's testimony, she states if an individual has a note, submits the note that says, I have a knee injury, must be off for 3 weeks, is that enough to satisfy Whirlpool that the person to be off in disability leave? She said yes, generally yes. You know, is there anything more that should be given? She said no, as long as it's certified by the doctor, certified in the general sense. It's not requiring any additional information. Those are the undisputed facts. That is the undisputed record in this case. There's nothing to suggest that Whirlpool did not approve the leave on June 25th. There's nothing to suggest that they waited until Dr. Hazen returned the SNA form on June 30th. Again, that was something that went to the insurance company, which Mr. Krause knew. He testified he knew that was an insurance form in order for him to get paid. That is the undisputed record.
Now, Mr. Goodrich might be making a legal argument that Whirlpool didn't have the right under the FMLA as a matter of law to conclude that this was fraudulent FMLA leave without going through some extra steps, getting additional doctor's opinions and the like?
Well, that is, yes, I recognize that's what Sims, the district court in California, ruled, but that is not the law of this circuit. As the district court in this case concluded, that is not the law of the circuit. I think if that is something that is to be decided upon, it would almost require to throw out Karyotis in this case. It is directly on point. It is directly factually, almost factually identical, and certainly applicable in all legal senses. I think it would require to throw out Karyotis in order to get to this step of requiring second opinions and other medical documentation. That is not a law of the circuit, and I don't think this is a case that should be used to make that or decide that particular point. Sims is distinguishable factually and legally under both these situations. So there's nothing to disturb Whirlpool's honest suspicion. I think the only way that Mr. Crouch gets to applying Sims is by attacking the timing of our honest suspicion. In the record that we laid out here, there is nothing to suggest that Whirlpool's honest suspicion was dubious and that we were gaming our own system when in reality, as Mr. Crouch was gaming our disability leave system with respect to our leave policies. If there are no further questions, I thank the court for its time.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. I believe Mr. Goodrich had used his time, had he not?
Yes.
He had. Okay, well, thank you, and in that case, the case will be taken under advisement.